The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, hour number two of our radio, CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. So the Heisman Trophy gets announced on Saturday night. The four finalists will meet the media tomorrow. Hickey and yours truly will be there for the big event in the Big Apple in New York City. And your four finalists, Max Duggan from TCU, C.J. Stroud from The Ohio State University. You do have Caleb Williams from the USC Trojans, and then Stetson Bennett from Georgia. Hickey, there is not a non-quarterback invited to New York for the Heisman. And here or there, right, a running back wins the award. I remember when Derrick Henry won the award. Mark Ingram, Reggie Bush have won the award as well. But for the most part, it's quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And that's not surprising. Like, I'm not going to say that is unfair. But for all the finalists here to be quarterbacks this year, in a year where it's so wide open, I thought they could have gone. And I got to be careful here because I can't reveal my three votes that I had since I'm now a voter for the Heisman Trophy until after the award is announced. But I thought that there should have been at least one guy that is not a quarterback that should have been in New York City. And just look at the four candidates. Clearly, Caleb Williams deserving. Max Duggan, I thought if he would have won the game last week, maybe if Sonny Dykes didn't take the ball out of his hands on third and goal, fourth and goal at the one, he probably would have won the award. But I look at Stetson Bennett, and I look at C.J. Stroud. Bennett is the best is the quarterback on the best team in the nation, so I can't say I'm surprised that he's there. But for C.J. Stroud, who statistically had a really good year, I don't think he is going to win the Heisman. And in the biggest game of the year for him, where you could question the opponents that he was playing, he could only play who was on his schedule. But in the biggest game of the year for C.J. Stroud against Michigan, he did not perform all that well. So let's start off here, since you could probably say more about this manner than I can, just because I am tied down from all of what I can reveal and not reveal with this award. Do you have a problem with the four finalists for the Heisman all being quarterbacks? And is there a name or two that you say, probably does not belong as a finalist for the Heisman Trophy in New York City?
I don't want to pick on the guy, but I feel like Stetson Bennett is there because of the Georgia record being 13-0. I feel like the Heisman voting recently has now turned into the best player on the best team instead of the best overall player. And when you look at Georgia's record, when you look at even the Heisman race that's unofficial, we just kind of talk about it, you know, amongst ourselves, and it's just kind of the buzz around the candidates on social media and how they play each and every week. Stetson Bennett's name was never even in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy, and all of a sudden now he's a finalist in New York. I think in part because you look up, it's like, oh, Georgia's number one, they're 13-0. They've lost one game in 2 years. Of course we got to put the quarterback of that team on the ballot, when you could argue he's not even the best player on the team.
Yes, and well, he's not the best player on the team. And this is not taking anything away from Stetson Bennett. But when you look at Stetson Bennett, I think what helped him this year is two things. One, anyone that we fell in love with that was going to win the Heisman Trophy or that was making the case for the Heisman Trophy, their team lost, or they had a clunker of a game. This has been, just like the college football playoff, a very open year where there was a lot of opportunity to go take and cement yourself as the guy, and a lot of guys did not do that. A lot of teams didn't do that. The other part is, you look at conference championship weekend, because you get the vote rivalry weekend. And then some people, they mail it in before, you get it right after rivalry weekend. Some people vote right away and don't watch the conference championship games, which is crazy to me. Like, I did not mail in my vote until late Sunday, or log on until late Sunday night after you got to see all the conference championship games go down. But I think this year, you look at a lot of those performances with how open it was. A reason why he got the invite to New York City is he did throw four touchdown passes against LSU. Even though this is a year-long award, in the conference championship weekend when a lot of votes were undecided, he did play maybe his best game of the season, going 23 of 29 against LSU, 274 yards, and tossing four passing touchdowns.
Right, but that's one good game. But one good game, like, it, there shouldn't be recency bias. Again, it's a full season award, right? It's not just, oh, who had the best game in their last game.
But just like when it gets to the college football playoff, you have a team stumble late, a lot of people argue it's better if you're going to lose a game to lose it early rather than later. I'm and just telling you how I think this factors into it.
Argument is stupid, frankly. Like, it's like for Bryce Young, for example, right? Bryce Young is not on the ballot, and he was written off pretty early. Because they had Bama two losses.
He had a great year.
Bryce Young, Alabama scored 49 points in one loss and, what, 31 points, I believe, on the road against LSU in the other loss.
Oh, he's not a reason why they lost the game.
He was not the reason why they lost either game. But it's like, oh, Alabama lost two games. Bryce Young's out the window. Well, it's like, well, why? Like, why does Alabama losing and their defense not being good impact his stock in what is an individual award?
Well, two things. Isn't an MVP usually you got to have a team? And I know you could still say Alabama was in contention, but I don't think anyone really thought they had a chance to get in. Doesn't it feel like a lot of times the MVP comes from one of those top teams in the nation? And I know Alabama ends up being fifth, but for Alabama standards, them being at fifth does feel like it's a down year for Alabama. Now, it's not Bryce Young's fault, but also how many times when a guy wins an award, and remember, Bryce Young already won the Heisman Trophy. Maybe this is just writers doing this and voters doing this. Maybe the voters say everything has to go perfect for him and everything has to line up for him to win it again. Now, there's a difference in him winning it and him being a finalist, and he wasn't even a finalist for the award. But I do think those things do, like, kind of factor into the conversation when you're looking at a guy that's trying to go back-to-back with the Heisman Trophy and how few of times it has historically happened.
And I would argue that's honestly unfair. It's just like the best player in that
You're
year.
You're not wrong.
You know, it's just like, and that's, it does bother me a little bit, I will say.
Okay. So let me ask you this, because this is something after covering the event for so many years, and I've covered the Heisman Trophy since it was Manti Te'o and Johnny Manziel were finalists in New York City, and that was all the way back in 2012. Other than last year when I had COVID, and then in 2020, when everything was remote, I've been to every media availability for the Heisman Trophy. Now, the process, now being a first-time voting member of it, I was surprised you only get three votes. I thought at bare minimum you would have got five votes for the Heisman Trophy. You only get three votes. So when you only get three votes, kind of does make you look at probably more quarterbacks, I would say. Just because usually quarterbacks do win this award, where maybe you get a little bit more creative if you had a fourth and a fifth vote. Does it end up winning that guy the award if he gets a few fourth and fifth place votes? No, but maybe that gets a non-quarterback a invite to New York City. There's been plenty of non-quarterbacks that have got invited to New York City. But if you had three votes for the Heisman Trophy this year, Hickey, one, two, and three, who would be your – you do a 3-2-1 when you reveal it, but who would be your third place, your second place, and your first place vote?
Third place, honestly, I'd honestly give Hendon Hooker credit. I'd probably go Hendon Hooker for his impact on Tennessee this season, for how well he played in some of the biggest games of the year. I know it did not end the best, but again, it's a season-long award. It's not just how you play in the last game of the year. So I would give him, I think, a season-long credit at three. I'd go Max Duggan, two, and Caleb Williams, one.
So on Hendon Hooker, let me just ask you this. You talk about the biggest games of the year. I know the entire team did not play well against Georgia. With how much he laid an egg in that Georgia game, that's probably why he's not a finalist, would be my guess. And you factor in the injury, too.
Yeah, well, any injury, I mean, having, what, second last game of the year, I don't think that, to me, is a reason to leave him off.
Probably and more the Georgia game.
Sure, the Georgia game is not a good game, but again, it's an MVP performance. So, again, the entire season. Again, he had one bad game in the biggest stage, don't get me wrong, but Tennessee's not on that stage.
You got to have Heisman moment in that game.
Tennessee's not Tennessee if he's not playing the way he did early in the season.
Absolutely. I'm not debating that, but that's why he's probably not a finalist. Now, you could say that he should be a finalist in New York, and there's been years where we've seen only two finalists, three finalists.
Sometimes five. It depends. Like, every year is different.
Every year is different. It's just the way that the votes do shape on out. I'm not surprised that Hendon Hooker didn't get an invite to New York, and I don't think it's really more so the injury. I think it's just because of the way that he played up against Georgia, even though Tennessee, I'm not taking anything away from Tennessee. They had a wonderful season this year.
And you mentioned Heisman moment. You are correct. He did not really have that moment, but I'd also argue outside of really Caleb Williams, who has had that signature Heisman moment, who's already number two on my ballot. Like outside of the top two, which is Caleb Williams and Max Duggan, for me, they are easy shoe-ins top two. You look at that third spot, C.J. Stroud, you want to argue, Stetson Bennett,
totally
you want to put Blake Corum in, you want to put Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, we can go all throughout the list.
You're 100% right.
I don't think there's really a third guy you could say truly has had a Heisman moment per se.
That's what made this year so difficult, because you look at the guys that you put, and I'm just commenting on your list, just to be clear here.
I was a voter, yes.
You put Duggan and Williams 2-1. Williams put up a great statistical game in the Pac-12 championship, even though they lost, on one leg. It was a gritty performance. Duggan, I thought, had the biggest, even though Stetson Bennett statistically may have had a great weekend, I thought Duggan had the best moment from last weekend. And I just hate that his coach, for whatever the reasons were, on third and goal and then fourth and goal at the one, with not only the way that he was shredding Kansas State and leading them back for TCU through the air, but the way he was running over 100 rushing yards in the game. And that kid was lying down, looked like he needed oxygen, right? He couldn't even stand up. Don't even celebrate with him. How do you not give the ball still to that kid at the 1 yard line when throughout the entire game, Ryan, he was showing he was the toughest player on the field? Like, give him the ball in that spot. It's still inconceivable to me how that dude was a battering ram, how that dude had the heart of a lion in that game, and he was running through a team, how you are one yard out, not 10, not 20, not 30, one measly yard out, how they didn't give him the ball. As great of a year as TCU had, that was disgraceful. They didn't give him the ball. And it may have cost him the Heisman Trophy. He's still a finalist, but I think if he would have won, he would have got a lot more votes.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think Caleb Williams. I think he'll win the landslide. I don't think a 1 yard QB sneak.
Or if they win the game, it does.
Changing,
I think,
Max Duggan's status.
Were you watching? And I know Twitter's not an entire reflection of society, but so many people were tweeting Duggan for Heisman, Duggan for Heisman, Duggan for Heisman.
Yeah,
and then the air got let out of the balloon once they lost the game. I think you would have seen a seismic shift with how many people were waiting and waiting and waiting to just see something great on the field that weekend that resulted in a win. I'm not telling you that he definitely would have won the award, but I think it would have been a big shift and would have made Caleb Williams very, very uncomfortable, who a lot of people going into the weekend thought that Caleb Williams was a lock to win the Heisman Trophy. Anyway, getting into this conversation, since we've just been talking quarterback, 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 who's the best non-quarterback this year in college football, in your opinion? With everything you've seen, Hickey, who would be the one guy that you would say, that was the best player I saw in college football this year, that is not a quarterback?
Honestly, I'd go Marvin Harrison Jr. That guy was unbelievable. Tough catch after tough catch. And early on, too, like once Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who was supposed to be the guy for Ohio State this year, got hurt in the first game and played barely two other games after that, he quickly evolved into the guy and quickly became the go-to guy for C.J. Stroud. Defenses knew it. Even though you would double-team him, even though you'd put some of the best guys cover-wise on him, and even though he's a guy that, outside of the Rose Bowl last year, not really played a lot, he stepped up and was dominant. He's unstoppable.
He's going to be phenomenal. He's already phenomenal. He is going to be...
Helps when, you know, you get some genes to give you a head start.
No, that's true, but that's a guy that's going to be a top-five pick. When he's allowed to go to the draft, he's going to be a top five pick, Hickey. There's no doubt in my mind.
As long as he doesn't get injured, I would agree. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this then. If you had to rank the three best wide receivers in the country this year, you would agree Marvin Harrison Jr. is on that list. Clearly, you just named the best non-quarterback in college football. Quentin Johnson from TCU probably on that list, and Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right? Those. How would you rank those three?
Hyatt 2, Johnson 3.
Yeah. And Johnson was on like a pitch count, it seemed like, the entire
year
with
the injuries. Well, that was part of it. He's hurt every game. He was going out in the tent, ankle injury, leg injury.
And still putting up big performances.
That was the only frustrating part. He's not healthy enough on a consistent basis.
Okay, outside a wide receiver, when you go to the running backs, because we could talk about Brock Bowers, who's been phenomenal at Georgia this year, the tight end. Defensively, we know how great Will Anderson Jr. is going to be, and he's going to be a top three pick in the draft. I feel like when we get in these conversations, though, Hickey, of who's the best non-quarterback in the country, it seems like it usually comes in the way that we look at football now from an offensive player. And that's either going to be a wide receiver or a running back. You already told me that you think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Running back, we had a lot of good running backs this year. Jahmyr Gibbs, who was really Bryce Young's only like great weapon this year at Alabama. Chase Brown, I thought, had an unbelievable season with Illinois. Bijan Robinson at Texas was we knew was going to be have a great season, and he was phenomenal when everyone's focus was really on Quinn Ewers and what was Quinn Ewers going to be able to do, and it's going to be enough for him to supplant himself as a starter next year with Arch Manning looming. And then I thought, this is my answer, by the way, I think he was the best non-quarterback in the country this year, Blake Corum. Blake Corum, to me, was the best player on that Michigan team. I think maybe why he's not a finalist for the Heisman, two things. He did not play against Ohio State other than like a snap or two. And number two, the way that Donovan Edwards did play. Not that I'm saying Blake Corum's not good, because I think he's phenomenal. But I think it takes some of the shine off of where you could have even shown his impact even more if that run game struggled, but instead they put Donovan Edwards in, and that dude was shot right out of a cannon, and he was unbelievable. But Corum, to me, if he was able to play these last 2 weeks, and you would think he'd be able to put up the production because he was doing it all throughout the year that Donovan Edwards was, I think he would have won the award. To me, he was the best player I saw this year in college football that was not a quarterback. How do you rank the running backs this year? When you look at college football, like if you had to give me your like two or three guys that you just loved,
I would say I think Blake Corum, you mentioned, been tremendous. The person, I was only one running back I put ahead of him, and the only reason I'm doing so is because I think he had so much more to play with a lot less is Jahmyr Gibbs. This was a guy running the ball, was obviously their running back, but also too he was Bryce Young's number one receiver.
Isn't that funny now how we're talking about Alabama
as like there's not a lot around him. The rest of talent.
As if Alabama is like an FCS school now. Bryce Young had nothing around him. Jahmyr Gibbs had nothing around him this year. It's kind of
crazy.
I'm just laughing at it because what happened this year with Alabama is such an anomaly. And still, Nick Saban could get on Fox and ESPN and have a legit argument to make the college football playoff. It's like they got blown out in any of these games this year.
No.
They lost to LSU on a 2-point conversion. They lost to Tennessee after their field goal kicker missed, and then Tennessee's field goal kicker made it. It's crazy how close they are, even when they don't have the typical Alabama year.
So Nick Saban's the biggest cheat code in maybe all sports.
All righty. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Who's the best non-quarterback this past season in college football? 855-212 for CBS. When we return, we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So for the game tonight, Rams and Raiders. Baker Mayfield, active. John Wolford and Bryce Perkins, also active. So we still don't know who is going to be starting tonight for the LA Rams. Why do you look so confused there, Hickey?
They have three quarterbacks active?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Why? Well, pick two and let's go.
Can I give you the reason?
So stupid.
They don't have any quarterbacks, and you don't even know what to expect out of Baker Mayfield. Why is that stupid? They're a 3-9 football team. Make all three guys active, and you want to use Baker Mayfield for like 10 plays, and you throw him in there for 10 plays.
And if John Wolford's not healthy, don't put him out there and just put Bryce Perkins and Baker Mayfield out there. Everything he's healthy enough to hold up, put John Wolford out there, let Baker sit and learn, and make Bryce Perkins your backup quarterback.
But if John Wolford you think is healthy enough to start and doesn't make it through the game, you can't
and
then
you have Bryce Perkins.
Yeah, then you would have Bryce Perkins. But what, then just don't make Baker Mayfield active?
Yeah, the guy's been there for 2 days.
What's the point, though? Like, your team's 3-9. Does it really matter if that means you tell a fourth string corner or fifth string corner that you're not playing tonight? Does that really matter? Is that what really you're all caught up on right now? I have no problem with all three being active.
Yeah, I think it's a wasted roster spot. When you only have, what, 46 active on game day?
Let's be real. The entire rest of the Rams season is a waste of time. So who cares? The team's 3-9. If you want to have Baker Mayfield for 10 plays in the game tonight, that's why you got to make him active. I got no problem with that. No problem whatsoever.
All right.
So look at Hickey. Still trying to make sure that every game matters.
I'm playing hard here. You know, I'm coaching to the very end if I'm showing video. You have no reason to tank because you don't have your own pick, so it doesn't matter. If anything, you want to win as many games.
But they're not tanking by having three quarterbacks active.
I'm just saying, like, you're trying to win as many games as you can.
Who cares? Who cares? Make it exciting. Make it entertaining.
I want them to start Baker Mayfield. I want to see what he can do. I want to see if he can beat a defense in the Raiders. And they can't, you know, they can't beat a first-time head coach. Maybe they can't beat a quarterback either who's been there for 48 hours. I want to see it. I don't want to see Bryce Perkins. I don't want to see John Wolford.
No, let's just be real. You hate McDaniels, so you want to see.
I want to see him fail.
McDaniels
absolutely
lose tonight. Now, if Baker Mayfield starts, what's the worst loss? Losing to the Colts when you had a guy come off his couch and win in Jeff Saturday, or would it be losing to Baker Mayfield and the LA Rams when Baker Mayfield has literally been there for 48 hours?
Jeez, that's a tough one.
That's like, which disease would you rather have?
I still will say the Colts loss is worse because, I mean, with all the hoopla, all the criticism that was there, like, Jeff Saturday didn't even know who was calling plays until, like, Tuesday. You can't lose to a coach that was on ESPN 3 days ago, came off the couch, and honestly, outcoached you. You can't do it.
I think it would actually be this one tonight because even though I hear everything you're saying with all the changes that they made on the staff, that team was still the same team in terms of the players that were playing in the game. So it makes it a little bit easier. This is a guy that wasn't even on the team 3 days ago. And now he could be playing significant snaps tonight at the most important position in the sport. And he has to control the entire offense. I don't even know if he's going to start. And I think it will just be in minuscule amounts and doses. But if he's playing a significant amount of snaps, and that was the question, and he beats you, what does this guy even know in terms of Baker Mayfield in the playbook? Like 10 plays, 15 plays
I
max?
Agree. If he plays and starts, he probably knows, I would say, at most 20 plays.
He may be the most erudite quarterback in the NFL.
And could you imagine being Josh McDaniels, losing to a first-time head coach and Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, I can imagine
later,
it. You want
to
know why?
Losing to a guy who got to a team 2 days ago.
You know why I could imagine it? Because I would have all that money. I would take the beat down. I would take being the national pinata, having Hot Take Hickey all mad at me if I'm getting paid the amount of money that he's getting paid. Have at it. Let me be an incompetent coach.
No, they don't think like that. They don't coach for the money. Joshua Daniels not going back to his home and sitting in his lavish house, I'm sure.
You don't think money plays a factor
Benjamins
why these guys coach?
As a reason why, you know, counting the Benjamins as okay, everyone taking
they
a shot at me.
They don't think like that. You don't think they don't care about
like
the money?
That.
They don't care. I'm not saying that doesn't annoy them, but you don't think the money matters to these guys?
With the amount of hours they coach, the money's irrelevant.
Stop. The money's irrelevant.
You don't have enough time to use
stop
any of the money.
Stop.
Not in your
money,
house.
Money is never irrelevant. Never.
For NFL coaches,
whenever,
I think it's one
whenever
of
someone
few
says,
breeds
oh,
that,
the money
the
doesn't
case
matter. The money doesn't matter. The money always matters. Anyway, without further ado, not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to hit up a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Josh McDaniels says the Raiders will be prepared if Baker Mayfield plays. Listen up.
We're have a quick, you know, summary of what he's done and seen some of that quickly. You know, and I know some of our guys have coached against him. I've coached against him. You know, just kind of understanding the kind of player he is and some of the strengths and weaknesses of, you know, that's what we're really cramming on everybody right now. So if that happens, then, you know, we'll have an idea of what he's done and what he does and, you know, and just, you know, compete as hard as we can against him. So there's nothing magic we can do here in a short week like this when they claim a guy on a Tuesday. You know, it is what it is.
Let's hear from Sean McVay. He says the Raiders are better than what their record says they are.
I think this is a team that their record doesn't at all reflect what a good football team they are. They've obviously won a handful in a row. I think they're excellent. I think they're well coached in all three phases. I think they've got key critical players at the right spots.
Let's go to John Wolford, who may be starting tonight. He's active. We don't know if he's going to be starting. He says Baker Mayfield won't be a distraction for the Rams.
You know, this is part of the sport. Obviously, the team's going to do what's best for the team and, you know, welcome him with open arms. And it's a good group in there, so we're just going to continue to push each other to get better and go about our business.
You know what's weird? Baker Mayfield's, like, not a distraction anymore, Hickey. With what happened in Carolina and how that just so quickly faded away, I don't look at him as a distraction right now in the final five games of the season for the LA Rams. You?
I mean, when you're this bad, you can't be a distraction,
yeah,
right? Like,
it's irrelevant.
Right. John Wolford probably thinks, and rightfully so, he's better than Baker Mayfield at this point.
Man, what a sentence that is. Kyle Shanahan says that Brock Purdy has stones.
Brock came in and made some big plays. He's got some balls out there. Forgive me for saying it that way. You know, we got to clean some stuff up, obviously. But just throwing him in there in the heat of battle like that, I thought he did a hell of a job doing it.
George Kittle credits Brock Purdy for his cojones.
He's got some kahunas to him, and you got to love that. Like I said, you have to have confidence in the NFL, especially at quarterback, because if you're not confident, guys feel that.
I like he said he had balls in his
balls. Oh, I can say that? Yeah, he definitely has balls. Definitely has balls.
Did you hear Ross Tucker, who is a very intelligent man? He went to Princeton. Ross Tucker was filling in on the Dan Patrick show. He said that word is cajones. And he was... Ross Tucker.
Are you kidding me?
Who went to Princeton. And then someone called him out for it. I forget who he was interviewing. And he's like, what did you say? Cajones? That's how he pronounced that word.
Sometimes you're too smart for your own good, I guess.
Now, I don't think that Jack Stern was in the body of one Ross Tucker. But maybe it makes me think that maybe he was. Could have been the case. Maybe Ross Tucker's been hanging out with one Jack Stern a little bit.
There are a few words where you know how it's said, but you don't really know how it's spelt. I don't think cojones is one of those where you can easily switch it up.
Cajones.
That's, come on.
Also, he's been in an NFL locker room a lot.
Right, like, come on, Ross.
They gotta,
you have
you
to see that spelled out before.
And it's not as if he went to some crappy university. He went to an Ivy League school. Princeton.
Guess they don't talk that way in the Princeton locker room.
Only prim and proper words. They just talk about the testicles, I guess.
He has intestinal fortitude is probably the word you use in press conferences.
All right, let's hear Trent Williams. Did he talk about Brock Purdy's balls? He just talked about the confidence of the quarterback.
He's been a pleasant surprise to everybody in the building. You know, from the minute he stepped in, I looked at him like, man, you can see the confidence like spewing out of him. And it's not arrogance. It's just confidence. It's just in him. It ain't even like it comes out before he even realizes, oh, shit, I might be yelling at Debo. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is that genuine belief that the 49ers have in Brock Purdy? Or they're trying to talk something up and make it better than what it actually is because they have no other choice to do so, Hickey?
Can I say a little bit of both? Like, I don't think everyone's on the same page on accident, where I do think he's shown some confidence, but at the same time, now that he's the guy, I think he amplified a lot more than maybe that's actually happening in the locker room.
Nothing against Kyle Shanahan, nothing against George Kittle, but when it comes from Trent Williams, that's a dude that seems like he just shoots you straight and he takes no BS and he's not going to try to put lipstick on a pig. That's a guy that I'm not saying that Brock Purdy's going to be this great quarterback, but when it comes from Trent Williams, it means a lot more than the other two. And let's go to Tom Brady. We're talking about Brady and the 49ers, maybe having a little bit of relationship this offseason. Brady being the new QB1 for the Niners. Tom Brady explains his love for the 49ers growing up.
You know, I always consider myself a California kid and grew up obviously loving Joe Montana and Steve Young and going to the 49er games. That's where I fell in love with football. And we'd sit up there in the nosebleeds, you know, and we had four tickets. My mom and dad would go. I would usually go, and then one of my sisters would go. And, you know, I was lucky to grow up in the Bay Area at that time. It was just a great time. There was so many great players, a great era of football. And I loved the 49ers. I loved them through college. And then when they skipped over me six times, I started hating the 49ers. And that's just the way it went down.
Just wait until John Lynch, pregame, Bucks and 49ers is seen talking to Tom Brady. Twitter going to be a wild place this weekend. And finally, Mike McDaniel says that Tua Tagovailoa isn't solely to blame for the loss of the 49ers last week.
You know, everything that went wrong wasn't a direct result of the quarterback. It never is exactly like that. However, you know, we all know that he wants to play as well as he can, and he thinks that he could have done better in that game. So that is life in the NFL.
And we'll see how he bounces back, because Tua has been great this year, had a really bad performance against a great defense, the best defense of the league in the 49ers. Now you play a Chargers defense, not all that good. Miami and Los Angeles this weekend, the Dolphins and the Chargers, Hickey, it seems like it's going to come down to some crazy play at the end of the game, just the way that both, the Dolphins have been good this year, and the Chargers, they've been underwhelming, but it seems like that matchup is coming down to the last possession.
You already see it. Let's say a minute 13 on the clock. Dolphins up by three. We'll go 31-28. Joe Ball and Justin Herbert's hand. Let's see what
that's
you can
fine.
Do.
That's fine. Just don't throw a pick six, because I have the Chargers plus 3.5 this week, okay? So I'll take 31-28 on a loser. That's the news brief. 855-212-4CBS. Let's quickly squeeze in Brian in Knoxville next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me, Zach. I appreciate you taking my phone call.
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say, man, compared to Caleb Williams, Hendon Hooker's way better, man. Caleb Williams, he puts FU on his fingers, you know what I mean, for his opponents. And
so does that mean he's not a good quarterback? Like, we've had a lot of quarterbacks do stupid things, but Caleb Williams is a heck of a player, and he's going to be the first quarterback taken in the draft, not this year, but when he's eligible in 2 years from now.
Sure. Like, he deserves all that. He's a great quarterback, yes. But Hendon Hooker's writing children's books, you know what I mean, and doing the same, in fact, better against better competition than Caleb Williams. And it's okay that Hendon Hooker doesn't make the Heisman or go to New York, but Caleb Williams does not deserve it, in my opinion. He's not the best player in the country.
All right, Brian, appreciate the phone call. If your argument is the guy, and some voters think this way and some people think this way, I do not, but if your argument is the guy shouldn't be a finalist because he wrote F Utah on his fingers, which I didn't agree with. But if that's your argument, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, Hickey, that should not take away why this kid should or should not win the Heisman, that he did something stupid writing F Utah on his fingers, we all could agree was just dumb. But it's like, the guy is still a great player. You think an NFL GM would be like, yeah, I can't draft Caleb Williams because he wrote F Utah on his fingernails. That's something that seems like it's correctable if you just ask me.
Yeah, I don't think his draft stock or his Heisman race is going to be impacted too much by those four letters on his what? On his left hand, on his right hand, whatever it was?
Yeah, I think it was on his left hand was the F word. It was on his left hand. But hey, it is what it is.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. It's time for a Week 14 edition of This QB or That QB.
All right, Z-Man, we got some interesting
matchups
here.
Hold on, wait a second. We need the disclaimer.
I was going to say it here.
I know, but it didn't seem like you were going. Oh, it seemed like you were right to the matchups.
We're asking questions of whether you have this quarterback or that quarterback, and for only this game, one game and one game only. Not for the season, not for the career. In Week 14, would you rather have this quarterback and how they're playing or that quarterback based on how they're playing so far this season? Let's start with an AFC East matchup. Josh Allen taking on the upstart, Mike White.
Josh Allen. No, you're really a clown for asking that.
Why? The Mike White fever is
so great last week at the goal line, right?
I mean, like Braxton Berrios, how about you catch the ball?
A little bit behind him, though. But you still got to catch. You got two hands on it.
Jets players, I think, will go to war for
Josh Allen all day.
Mike White.
Imagine if Josh Allen played on the Colts and someone asked you that question, you would be offended by that. It's Josh Allen all day.
All right, let's go to an AFC North battle then. Joe Burrow or Deshaun Watson?
Joe Burrow. First off, I could trust Joe Burrow off the field. Secondly, Joe Burrow is a better quarterback on the field. And you see what Joe Burrow has been able to do. And now he has Ja'Marr Chase back. He got that team to a Super Bowl last year. I know that really his one kryptonite has been the Cleveland Browns. But I love me some Joe Burrow. Give me Joe Burrow.
How about Kirk Cousins? Or a man who proclaimed to be playing the best football of his career, Jared Goff.
There's going to be a lot of points in this game. That line has now moved to Detroit as a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
They're begging to take the Vikings.
This might be the most raucous December Lions game at Ford Field in a long time.
And Jared Goff has been in a Super Bowl and Kirk Cousins is not. I'm still going Kirk Cousins.
All righty. How about an AFC South battle? Trevor Lawrence or Ryan Tannehill for this week?
Oof. It would be Lawrence just because of the upside. You know, for Trevor Lawrence, what you're seeing, he either has all of it or he has like none of it. There's not been a great like in between for Trevor Lawrence. When it comes to Ryan Tannehill, I never see all of it. It's usually just like, okay, he manages the game or he falls on his face.
So since there's some of that, all of it there for Trevor Lawrence, I'll bank that maybe it shows up this week. Give me Trevor Lawrence.
Another AFC North battle. Kenny Pickett playing host to Tyler Huntley.
I almost thought you were going to say Taylor Heineke there for a second.
Tyler Huntley.
Pickett. I've actually been impressed. I don't know about you. I've been impressed with Pickett this year. Doesn't really have much of an offensive line. I was starting to bank on that relationship with him and George Pickens, and Pickens got annoyed that he wasn't getting the football last week. Najee Harris has been inconsistent. Deontay Johnson, you were right on Deontay Johnson. Not worth the money. That guy drops too many footballs. But Pickett has been, he's been solid. And he's finding a way to make something out of not an ideal situation. I've been thoroughly impressed with Pickett this year. I'll go Pickett.
Now, hand up, I will admit, I did not do my research. Do you know who's starting for the Panthers? Is it P.J. Walker or Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold? So Sam Darnold or Geno Smith?
Geno Smith. Is this a trick question?
Just ask him.
Is that a trick question?
No, no trick questions.
Okay. Yeah, Geno. You know, people wrote him off and he didn't write back.
We will skip over an AFC West battle that, you know, on paper could have been a good discussion in Kansas City and Denver that has not gone the way of Russell Wilson.
If you ask me that, you deserve to lose your job.
We will skip over a great one in the Bay, you know, between the Bucks and the 49ers.
I'm going to skip over that Denver Chiefs game, just like how half the teammates supposedly skipped out of Russell Wilson's surprise birthday party.
Yeah, not great so far in year number one, that is for sure. How about a great, and talk about great, Sunday night battle. Dolphins-Chargers. Tua for this week, or do I have Justin Herbert?
I don't think Emmanuel Acho is going to be happy with me on this one, but I'm going with the social media superstar, social media quarterback, and Justin Herbert. I just think he's a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa.
All righty, let's finish up with a Monday night battle. Mac Jones or a struggling Kyler Murray?
Wow. What's your answer on this one?
Oh, I'd still take Kyler Murray.
You know why I may go Mac on this one? And Kyler's a better, by far and away, a better quarterback. I just don't know how bought in Kyler Murray is right now. Like, Mac Jones, you at least know he's going out. This is how lame my football fandom has come to. He's at least going out on the field and he's trying. Like, Kyler Murray seems like he's going out on the field and he's just trying to fight. Fight with the coach. Fight with the Hopkins. Now Ertz is out for the season, unfortunately. I've never seen a guy at the quarterback position, because we've seen in other positions, get paid and just look so disinterested than Kyler Murray does. Like, isn't that concerning to you with Kyler Murray? How he's already fighting with the coaching staff after just getting the contract extension. I'm not saying there's not reasons to question the coaching staff, but it's not as if your play has been this unbelievable where you have to be 1,000% right, Higgy.
I think we're seeing the flare-up of just an underperforming coach, and underperforming quarterback. And again, the quarterback is going to try to now kind of save his own ass, even though he got paid. I think we're seeing more and more outbursts that are public towards Cliff.
What did Vance Joseph say, by the way?
He was asked about his thoughts on the Patriots' offense.
Who is the defensive coordinator, by the way, for the Arizona Cardinals?
So they run a lot of screens, a lot of short games.
Vance Joseph having the time of his life. Remember Sergio Dip? That guy was awesome. Whatever happened to him?
One and done. At least for the ESPN English broadcast.
They
maybe
still
does ESPN Deportes, but they didn't have him for the Mexico City game. At least, and if he did, I didn't see it.
He still works for ESPN, according to his Twitter. He's 260,000. Followers, Hablo de Deportes in ESPN. I know that means that you're talking sports on ESPN.
Did not have them, though, at least in the Monday night game a few weeks ago. But anyway, so Vance Joseph said it's a conservative offense. They throw a lot of screens. And he said it's an offense that looks like it's being called by a defensive guy.
So he's not wrong. But is that the right thing to say before you're going up against that team? Is this the Matt Patricia wake-up game, Hickey?
I mean, number one, if Matt Patricia needs a wake-up call at this point, that's concerning. Number two,
sucks.
That shows you how confident, for a bad defense, by the way, that Arizona is, calling out Matt Patricia and basically having no fear of retribution or no fear of getting torched. Not good.
I can't stand Patricia.
Not good.
You know, I've been against this from the start, but I can't stand Patricia. Some Bills fans tweeted me last night, and they were like, when Sal Capaccio was like, oh, you know he's a Patriot fan. Oh, talk about his offense. And I said, yeah, what, my offense? That they're a JV offense and they don't have a number one wide receiver? Yeah, I could be critical about my football team. We know that. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you can say the same about Hickey with his Colts, though.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.